Hopefully you were able to grab a bulletin on the way in and see some of the things that are going on this morning and this evening. This afternoon at around 5 p.m., I believe, is a quarterly business meeting. And this is for all members. We talk about different business in the church, and sometimes we even vote on things here and there. And I think it's very important that if you're a member and a contributing member, that you come to meetings like that. And we only have them about four times a year, so every now and again there'll be a special business meeting. But this is a quarterly one, and make sure you come and find out about our financial standing. One of the things about our church is we are a very open church financially. We don't hide anything, and if you contribute, most things that I contribute to, I kind of want to know what's going on with it. So come tonight at 5, and in order to sort of bribe you to come immediately after the business meeting at 6 during our normal church time, we're having, it's called a service around the supper table, and we're going to feed you sloppy joes. So come to the business meeting and then come to that service time, and we'll be talking a little bit about evangelism and witnessing, sort of pick up where we left off last week and some practical things. So we'd love to see you for that. There's some other announcements in the bulletin. This Saturday is the men's basketball tournament, and we were hoping for about 12 teams, and right now I think we have 7 teams signed up. So if you have some grandson or nephew that likes to play basketball and has friends that play basketball, let them know that it's $30 to enter a team. It's 3-on-3, and they can have a fourth player as a sub. And they can come next Saturday. If you want more information about it, I have all the rules on a piece of paper. I can give you that after the service. But we'd love to see 12 teams out. That would be around 48 guys. And we are going to give a little gospel presentation in that. And you can be praying that that would be an effective time of ministry. Outreach really is what it is. So pray for that next Saturday. And we do have a couple other changes to the bulletin. At the last minute, just this morning or late last night, we heard that there's too much sickness at the Argentine Care Center, and they are canceling the service today. And that was up on the screen, but I wanted to announce that out loud to everyone. Also, the ladies' lunch at Italia Gardens is our conclusion to our Bible study. And even if you haven't been involved in this women's Bible study, all ladies are welcome to go and join. Now, I think they do want to know, generally speaking, how many are going to try to fit in the special room I'm sure that they have reserved at Italia Gardens. So sign up. Okay, at that horseshoe-shaped welcome center that we have over there, I think there's a sign-up sheet for that Italia Gardens ladies' luncheon, so keep that in mind. And then the last one, I already mentioned that. All right. So I think we're all set, but look at that bulletin, and we really do strive to get it correct and things like that. But as I look around, I'm just praising the Lord for every person that's here. And even though some people are giving me dirty looks, I'm still thankful that you are here. And I'll try to figure out how to give you a dirty look sometime during the sermon, and we'll pay you back. So anyway, let's bow our heads and hearts as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are so mighty, so incredible, Lord, the creator of the universe and everything in it. And Lord, you are always on the lookout for us, watching our every move, every step, guiding our every heartbeat, Father. And we are very thankful that you are so kind and good to us. And Father, even this morning, as we learned from Habakkuk, that sometimes we have to wait on you. Lord, we know that you're up there watching us. Lord, help us sometimes to maybe just watch for you and watch how you work. And even this morning on our service, Lord, we want to watch our own hearts to make sure that our motives are pure in this worship time. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we have a new person doing the sign language for the sermon. So we're going to change the sermon and talk about Nebuchadnezzar and Zerubbabel. supralapsarianism and infralapsarianism. I'm kidding. If you have a Bible, turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, the little black ones in the pews, you can find page 1082. Habakkuk chapter 2. A few years ago, a woman went into a grocery store to purchase a broom and some other cleaning supplies. And as always, you know how it doesn't matter which lane we pick, it's bound to be the longest lane. At least that's the way it is for me. And she's standing there in line, and there's price checks, and there's problems, and people are getting out checkbooks to write checks, and the cashier usually doesn't know what to do with that. And it's just this long, long line. And everybody in line knew that this woman was getting upset. You can tell by the body language and the sighs and little comments here and there. And finally, the lady speaks out and says, "At this rate, I'll be lucky to be home by Christmas." To which the cashier replied, "Don't worry, ma'am. With the way the wind is picking up and with your brand new broom, you'll be able to fly home in no time." I don't know if he kept his job or not. I don't know. People get frustrated when they have to wait. It happens all the time because that's all we do in our world is wait. We want things now. We want things fast. And in some cases, we even want things instantly. How do I know this? Okay, go back with me to the grocery store and walk down the food aisles, and what do we see? Instant potatoes, instant coffee, instant oatmeal, all this instant stuff. We want stuff fast. You know, we're driving down the road and we want to eat, we stop and get fast food. The other day, I went into Long John Silver's, and the line was pretty big, and I was standing there waiting, and we had all ordered. We were just waiting for our food. I mean, at least a dozen people were standing there, and I had somewhere to be in like 5 minutes. It was just across the street, but I'm just waiting. I just wanted a couple fish tacos, and we're standing there waiting, and finally, I got so frustrated, and I asked the guy next to me, I said, "What did they have to go outside out back and catch the things? I mean, what's going on?" And all of us, to one degree or another, we get frustrated over waiting. And I'll admit it, even your pastor. Now, I know some Christians don't get frustrated with waiting. They don't struggle with waiting. You struggle with lying. Because you do struggle with waiting, you just don't want to admit it. Everyone hates to wait. One guy said, "I prayed for patience, but I don't have time to wait." It's very difficult to wait, for all of us to wait. Yet if we looked throughout Scripture, time and time again, the Lord asks us to wait. In Psalm 27:14, God says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Perhaps one of the most famous verses in all of the Bible is in Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Anybody ever heard that verse before? What about Philippians 3:20? It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, friends, I hate to burst your bubble, but as much as we dislike waiting, as believers in God, we are expected to wait. So it's no surprise that the prophet Habakkuk that we've been talking about, he is also expected to wait. He's pleaded with God about some things. He's asked God for revival for his people, and he's been shot down. And God says to him, "Just wait and see." And that's where we pick up the story in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. It says, This is Habakkuk's response to God's telling him to sit and wait. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. Somebody asked me this morning, what's a rampart? It's a part on the wall. Some say it's the little notches in the wall where they hide behind and shoot arrows. Others say it's like a tower structure that can slide out where they can dump stuff over onto the people attacking them. It's something on a wall. I'm going to set myself on top of this wall, and I'm going to watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Waiting on the Lord. Well, as pastor, what do we have to ask? And what do I have to explain to you folks? Well, what does waiting on the Lord involve? What does that really involve? I've heard people say it. I know the Bible said it. But what does it really entail here? Well, the simplest way to figure out what waiting on the Lord involves, I think, is to break down this verse, Habakkuk chapter 2, 1. And then eventually we're going to look at some other people in the Bible who, like Habakkuk, had to wait on the Lord. So are you ready? Let's dig in. Let's see what this verse is all about. Habakkuk, he is standing watch. The imagery is like a soldier or a sentry. He's taking up a position to stay awake and to stay alert in anticipation of what? An answer from God. He is sitting up and he's waiting for the answer. Now, the way that it is described here in the Bible is in the terms of a soldier at his post, which is very interesting because that implies Habakkuk believes waiting is his duty. Waiting is his responsibility. Does that make any sense? Make sense? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank some of you. All right. See what happens when we apply ourselves? See what happens when we apply ourselves to the study of the Word? We begin to see some really cool stuff. So Habakkuk is waiting on the Lord, and you can click off that, I guess, black it out. The joke was good for a while there. He's waiting on the Lord. He's waiting on a word from the Lord. What is he going to say to me? You see, Habakkuk isn't just waiting on a word from the Lord, and then once he receives that word, he's actually preparing his heart for whatever the answer might be. Habakkuk is concerned about whatever God's answer might be. He's preparing himself for potential future responses from God. That's real wisdom, folks. Every now and then we run across something in the Bible and we're like, well, I can actually use that in my real life. Every day. This is one of those. We better be concerned with our response to whatever God gives us. Thank you. It's like you guys are reading my mind, nodding your heads and saying amen, right when I expected you to. So let's watch, right? It says watch. It says wait. It says be ready. But how do we do that? Let's think about that just for a minute. How do we stand watch on the rampart is the imagery there. How do we do this? Well, I almost think Habakkuk's actually talking about prayer. Because he's been praying. It's been a running conversation back and forth with God the entire book of Habakkuk. I don't think this is some, dear God, thank you for the food type prayer. This is very thoughtful prayer. One commentator put it this way. He said it was attentive, reverent, and persistent prayer. I think too many times we face problems, and potentially they are overwhelming problems. And we will always say the right thing, oh, I'm just going to wait on the Lord. Well, that's great. But what are you going to do while you wait? Well, I'm just going to sit here. Friends, did Habakkuk just sit there? No, he got up and he did something about it. Perhaps instead of sinking into the depths of despair, what we might need to do is get down on our knees in some heartfelt prayer to the Lord of heaven and earth. Incessant, undistracted, determined prayer. And I think if you read between the lines, this is what Habakkuk is doing. Pray and wait. Wait and pray. And I really believe that what Habakkuk is doing here is very noteworthy because we are so impatient. I often wondered back then, were they as impatient as us? I mean, we have everything digital stuff at our fingertips. One pastor was saying, we don't even have maps anymore on paper, do we? We just get out our phones and, okay, one guy said, all you got to do is say, I want to go to Greg's house. And you set it up there and it gives you the directions right there. I mean, we're so impatient. When we have questions, we want answers now. Google, tell me the answer. Everything has to be fast, high speed. But God says sometimes you just have to wait. So we wait and we pray. About that, some prayers, do you know what we do? We pray it and forget it. You ever seen that commercial? Maybe I'm the only one. Set it and forget it. Is that right? You ever seen that? It's a big, long infomercial. Set it and forget it. Sometimes we do that. Okay, I'm just crazy. Nobody else knows what I'm talking about. I'll put it up on the screen next week. Okay. Sometimes what we do is we pray it and we forget it. And then sometime later, God answers that prayer, and we've forgotten it, so we don't even recognize it. And then what do we do then? Oh, we start complaining. God's so unfair. He never answers any of my prayer requests. Habakkuk is not going to make that mistake. Because what's he doing? He's watching. He is waiting. He is constantly monitoring the situation in anticipation of the Lord's answer. Which I'll admit, it's not easy to do. It's never easy to wait for an answer, especially if the chances are pretty good that the answer from our earthly perspective isn't going to be good. So the screen's about to say we must purpose to wait. You also have a note sheet, too. At the very bottom. We must purpose to wait, and it is a deliberate action in faith. And so strongly, so methodically is Habakkuk waiting that he describes himself as a soldier. I'm like a sentry. He's waiting on God's answer as if his life and the other people's lives in the city depend on it. I think God likes this type of tenacity. I think God likes intense prayers. I think he really does want us to put our heart and soul into it. So be faithful in prayer as you wait. Then, what's next? Be ready to receive an answer. That's right there in the verse. Quick question, where do we get a word from the Lord today? People are wondering why Little Caesars is up there, aren't you? You'll see it in a minute, I promise. Where do we get a word from the Lord today? Well, there's a few different ways. The Bible is one of the ways, and I would say it's the best way. It's the most objective way because the Bible is the objective truth of the Word of God. And it's 100% reliable. Now, another way sometimes we get a word from the Lord is from an open or closed door. Sometimes God speaks to us through circumstances. Although I will add this, it's never as clear as the Bible. Now, some people even think that the Lord speaks through strong feelings. Well, I have these strong feelings, and I think the Lord's trying to lead me this direction. However, I will add that that is the least reliable way. It's less reliable than circumstances, and it's certainly less reliable than the Bible. You know, you might have strong feelings because you ate an entire hot and ready Little Caesars pizza. It might not be God talking to you. I tell you, when I used to do that, before I was married, I used to eat an entire Little Caesars pizza. And you would have some strong feelings. I can tell you that. The best way to hear from the Lord is His Word. But how can we expect to hear from God if we aren't in the Word? You ever think about that? One of the sermons I was reading this week, I was told one of the facts was only 10% of regular church attenders read their Bible during the week. And only 2% study it thoroughly, put significant study into it. Do you know the secret to your future is found in your daily routine? I think that's on your note sheet. The secret to your future is found in your daily routine. For instance, if you want to hear from the Lord, your best chance would be to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Okay. Daily routine. You know, if I wanted to bench press 300 pounds, that would be a daily routine that I would have to go to, stick through. One day or a couple days a week, I'd have to do bench presses. A couple other days a week, I'd have to do the opposing muscle groups, right? Then there'd have to be rest. And then what, on top of all the exercise, what's maybe the most important thing I would need to do to bench press 300 pounds? Get proper nutrition. Protein. So what we have to do is sometimes we just have to get to work. Well, I have a problem. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to wait on the Lord. Sometimes this is where people get confused because they think that waiting on God equals inactivity. Well, you know, if I do nothing, maybe it will work out. Really? Is that true with anything in life, whether physical or spiritual? I'll just wait. It'll work out. The next picture up there, I think it's the next one. Did you know that walls don't paint themselves? That's the only illustration I can think of. Maybe you thought of something better. Walls don't paint themselves, but I wish they did because I hate painting. And my wife will say, well, you know, it's about time for this room. There's some cracks and there's some dents. And, you know, we need to fix all that, repair the plaster, and paint this room. And she'll be the first one to tell you. And I'll admit it. This is probably one of the biggest causes of contention in our marriage when I have to paint. I just get super, like, irritable or something. It's like, it's just... My dad and I, we would rather clean sewage up than paint, okay? And my wife, I have this in my notes, my wife is like, yippee, let's paint this room, and I get instantly irritable. Is anyone with me there? Painting. But walls don't paint themselves. And waiting does not equal inactivity. How will anything work out if you aren't earnestly praying and diligently seeking answers in the Word of God? Obviously, you've gotten to a point in your life where there's a problem or there's a situation or there's an issue where you don't have the Word yourself. You don't have an answer yourself. So those are the only options, right? Go to the Lord in prayer and go searching in the Word. I get a lot of phone calls during the week, and one of the phone calls that I really enjoy the most is when somebody calls me up with this question: where do you find this in the Bible? They maybe quote a little portion of a verse, or it's a story. I get those calls a lot, and those calls bless me as a pastor. You can call me with any, where do you find this in the Bible? You can call me like that anytime, okay? Not at 2 a.m., but any time during office hours, okay? You can call me. And I will be blessed, because that tells me that folks are looking in the Word. They're searching for God's answers. They're not content with their own answers. They want God's. So don't ever hesitate to call me with that question. It lets me know you're not just twiddling your thumbs, but you're searching in the Word. So wait. Pray. Be in the Word. Trust Him enough. After all, we do know that God is competent, right? Isaiah 46:9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." You know, if God is working for us and we are waiting, it's not because something is too hard for Him and He's trying to figure it out. We are waiting because He has a specific timeline. And eventually He will come through. What does the New Testament say? It says, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Later on it says, "God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Sometimes all you have to do is wait a little bit longer. About 15 years ago, a film came out, Castaway. Anybody familiar with that? I remember watching it with my folks. A man is stuck on a desert island, and back home his wife is struggling because the plane's missing, everything's lost. She assumes that her husband is dead, no way to communicate. And finally, after a very long length of time, I don't recall exactly how long, but her friends convince her to move on. And that's part of the drama of the film. And she meets another man, and then finally the character Tom Hanks is cast away. He shows back up. He gets off this island. And all we can think of is, why didn't she just wait a little bit longer? If only she could have waited a little bit longer. Psalm 37:9 says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." One day, praise God, our wait will be over. And it will be said in that day, "Behold, this is our God. We've waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." Let's make this personal. What are you waiting on now? All of us are waiting on something. What are you waiting on from God right now? The only thing I'm going to encourage you to do is, in the meantime, give your best effort to God. Don't wait till everything is perfect and all the cards have fallen into place. Get to work right now, even in that interim waiting period. I mentioned last week, many of you know that I was visiting a chiropractor. Well, he took some x-rays of my back, and he calls me and he says, "You know, we've taken your x-rays and we need you to come in with your wife." so we can go over them. And I called my wife. I said, hey, you know, the doctor wants us both to go in together to look at these x-rays. And her first question was, are you going to die or something? Wouldn't that be a stinky way to die? You have a pain in your neck and there's nothing we can do for you. I don't want to die from that. I want to die from something cool, okay? Well, how did Pastor Josh die? He was chopped into little bits by the propeller of an airplane. Okay, I want to die cool way, okay? He was torn apart by a pack of wolves, but he took six of them out on his way. That would be cool. It would not be cool to die from a pain in the neck. But when the doctor calls, and I know I was laughing and joking there, but when a doctor calls and he says, hey, bring your family into my office. We got to talk about some test results. Between the time you receive the call and that appointment, waiting, you'll be this train wreck, right? But what do we know about God? He created everything, literally everything, right? John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and everything that he made was good. That was fast. Until sin entered the world. Suddenly, what was good was now broken. And people only continued to get worse and worse until it came to the point where there was only a handful of people who still loved God. So God sent a flood that kills everyone except for that one family. And as the family went out and began to repopulate the earth, it didn't take long for their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren to start doing evil again. And just as things were starting to get crazy, God saw a man, he blessed a man, and he promised that a Savior would be born to that man's family. And this couple that was promised a son was near 100 years old when she finally gave birth to that promised boy. Then for that family, there was all sorts of ups and downs, including 400 years of slavery in Egypt. But eventually they got out and they faced this huge task of settling in the promised land. The problem in the land was it was inhabited by giants. And there was massive fortress cities everywhere. And they would be involved in warfare for decades. Until finally God gave them some kings who would bring some peace and some stability for a while. But the people, they kept reverting back to sin. How could a Savior come from such a dysfunctional, sinful family? Until finally, after centuries, that promised Savior was born, Jesus. Jesus, he's the one they were promised. He's the one they needed. And he's the one we need. Except so often we forget him. We don't think we need him. You know, I can do this on my own. I don't need to wait on God. When the reality is we do. We're so fragile. We're so vulnerable. No, I'm not, Pastor. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. Everything you've ever accomplished is owed to God. The only reason you're breathing right now is because of God. We're so fragile. We need his protection. We need a Savior. We're in need of Jesus. That's the mistake Israel kept making over and over again. We don't need God. I got this. We don't need to wait on him. And even though we live in a different world with different technology, a different society that wants things fast and instantly and instantly, many of us are making the same exact problems that they made a few thousand years ago. Don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Wait and pray, and then wait on his answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am thankful that we have a sense of humor and we can have fun as we're studying your word and trying to illustrate different concepts. And Lord, I'm just thankful for this family that we have here, that we do have a sense of humor. But Lord, in the end, we don't want to just laugh and think things are cute. Lord, we want to go home with some meat. We want to go home with some ideas to work on. In ourselves, in our families, in our extended families. And Lord, when someone comes to us with an issue and with a problem, and we say, well, let's wait on the Lord. Help us to be faithful in prayer and diligently searching in your word as we wait. Lord, there's all kinds of things. That we are struggling with mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, just issues we're facing. Lord, in every instance, we need your wisdom. In every case, Lord, we need your direct intervention. So, Lord, we're praying for that. And in the meantime, while we're waiting, we're committing this morning to pray and to search your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing just in my mind, and maybe I'm just crazy and hyper today, but I was thinking of different things. The quarterly business meeting tonight, as I look out, a lot of you are new to our church. Maybe you want to find out a little bit about our sort of business side of things. You know you are welcome to come to that meeting. Check it out and, you know, ask questions even. Obviously, if there's a vote, since you're not a member, you can't participate in any votes. But you can come and join us for the meeting and then even stay for the bribe. And we'd love to see you.